Okay, Shalom Rabotai. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Sadi Tes, a good tavach. I was told that the last shiur on Sadi Ches Amud Beis got cut off. Maybe my recorder ran out of space or whatever and just stopped recording. So we're going to do a little bit of Sadi Ches Amud Beis just to be thorough. If you want to skip ahead, so just, I guess, skip about 5-6 minutes and we'll get to the Sadi Tes. But we're going to start on the last skinny line on Sadi Ches Amud Beis. If you remember, we had been discussing that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah as to how the krushim, the boards that went around the Mishkan, how they looked. Were they the same width and the entire way, or did they go up into a point? And what's the nafkamina? Well, the nafkamina would be simply where the covering on the Mishkan fell out and how it looked exactly, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it went up to a point, and therefore it was like sharp as a pencil, as a finger, as a hochin ad ke'etzba, if you look at the top of the amud. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, no, they were an amud thick the entire way through, and that will have an impact in terms of where the covers fall. As we mentioned before, in Daf Chav Ches and Shabbos, so there's a machlokas in terms of how many coverings were on top of the Mishkan, either three or four. The Gemara here is going to talk about two of them that are explained, that are explicit in the Pasuk. And it's going to say, just depending on who you hold, like, the Mishkan would have looked slightly different. So let's just see it. Let's go through it. Vesa Mishkan tase eser yirios, orech yihar yirio hachas shmonim ve'esrim bo'amo. So basically, just before I get into the Mishkan here that we're referring to is talking about the inner cover that was made out of Tolas Shani and Techeles and all this stuff. Very multicolored, beautiful thing. So it, on the bottom, measured, it was made out of, let's say, 10 Eser Yirios. It was made out of 10 Yirios, which is a long piece of cloth. And these Yirios were 28 Amos by 4. Okay? So if they were 28 by 4... So that means in total, they were connected. So that means there were 40 by 28. And again, the Mishkan was 10 by 10 by 30. Okay, if you're talking Amos. So the inner covering was 28 by 40, but each Yiria was 28 by 4. Okay, so now it says the Gemara, Shodi Orchayu Leputzi of the Mishkan. If you're talking about the length across the Mishkan, how far was that? So that's Esrin Vitimni. That's 28, meaning it was 28, wide. If you're going from the eastern side was open. So let's say if you're going north south, so then it was 28 amos wide. So dal eser le igra. So take out 10 amos from the roof, meaning the width of the Mishkan. And pashalu tes lahaygisa v'tes lahaygisa. So take out 10 from 28. So you got 9 on each side. So again, if the krushim were 10 amos tall and you have 9 amos of cloth on either side, the Rabbi Yehuda migli ama de adonim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would have one ama that is revealed, and that would be the adonim. The adonim were the sockets on the bottom that the krushim, that the boards, the panels would go into, and they were an ama tall. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the adonim were revealed, were open, you could see them. The Rabbi Nechemiah, Migla Amma de Krushim. And according to Rabbi Nechemiah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Krushim were pointed on top, so you don't lose any extra space. So therefore, you have 9 on each side, and it goes down to 1 Amma below the bottom, so you see the Krushim, which were 1 Amma tall. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, who said that the width of the Krushim themselves was an Amma, so you lose 1 on each side. So now you only have 8 on each side, so therefore you could see the Adonim, and also Migli Amma the Krushim, you could also see 1 Amma of the Krushim. Shadi Pusayu La Orcha the Mishkan, what about the length of the Mishkan? Again, the Mishkan was 30 Amos long, and this covering was 40 Amos long. So Kama Havyan, how much was this the length of this covering? So that was 40 Amos. Dal Tlasim La Igra, take out 30 for the roof, Pashulei Yud, you have 10 Amos left. So Kant Rabbi Yehuda Michsei Mechasya Amadadon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, again, it worked out evenly because he was 10 amos tall, he had 10 amos of cloth left, so it would cover everything, including the 1 amma of the adonim of the sockets. Rabbi Nechemiah, Migle Amadadonim. So again, since you lose that 1 amma width of the kreshim, so that you would have 9 amos down the back of the Mishkan, and you would reveal 1 amma of the Adonim. Okay, that was the bottom covering. What about the next one? So the next one was made out of goat hairs, as we mentioned before. They had to actually weave the goat hairs while it was on the goat itself. Very fancy, very expert type of work. This covering was a little bigger. The pasuk says, "V'asisa yiriyosi zimla ohel orech hayiriyoha achas shloshim ba'ama." Right, it was 30 amos wide. Really means length, but if you're talking about the smaller sides, it was 30 by. These were 30 by 44. There were four each. What's it called? Was 4 by 30. Each yiriyah was 4 by 30, and there were 11 of them that were linked together. So therefore, they were 30 by 44. So here we're talking about the length, the 30 that went over, again, the width of the Mishkan. So Shodi Rechayu Leputzi of the Mishkan, talking about the width. Kama Havion Tlasin. That was, sorry, that's the length. My bad. That's the length. So it was 30 amos long. Wide. Sorry, my bad. I keep on doing that. The Yerios over here, we're talking about this, the second covering was 30 by 44. So Shodi Rechayu Leputzi of the Mishkan, taking the width of the Mishkan. Again, it was 10 by 10 by 30. So you draped this cover over, which was 44 by 30. It was 30 amos wide. Dal Eser le'igra, take 10 away from the roof. Pashalu Eser, so you have Eser la'igisa, Eser la'igisa. So you have 10 on each side. The Rabbi Yehuda, this covering, mechse amad adonim, would go all the way to the bottom and cover the adonim. The Rabbi Nechemia, according to Rabbi Nechemia, migle amad adonim, you would have, again, since you have the width of the krushim, or one amma each, so you'd have 9 on each side, and the adonim would be revealed. Tainami hafi, we also learned the Rabbisa, v'abamizeh, ba'odef, v'chasos amma ashal adonim, de Rabbi Yehuda. Right, why did you have one amma on each side extra? So that would to cover that, meaning the Adonim were revealed. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Lachasos Amma Shel Kroshin, that you would have the extra Amma that would cover the Kroshin. Okay, fine. Shadi Prusai L'Orcha the Mishkan. What about the length of the Mishkan? Kama Havi. So how long was this covering? So as we said before, it was Mem V'Arba. It was 44. Again, it was four. But each panel was 4 by 30. You had 11 of them. When I say panel, I mean like piece of cloth. They were stitched together, and therefore you may have 11 times 4 is 44. So Dal Tzlasim Le'igra, take out 34. Again, the Mishkan was 10 by 30, so take out 30 amos for the roof. Pashalu Arba, sorry, you have 14 left. Dal Tarti Le'kfela, take out 2 for what's called the Kefel, which was folded over the eastern side. Again, the eastern side didn't have a wall, didn't have crushing, it just had a mechse, it was just a covering. That was the opening. The pasuk says, "V'chavotas ha'yer ha'shishis al mul pnei ha'ohel." So, as I said, you had that was folded over. So then, pashulu tarti. Sorry. So you have again, you have half of a yiriyah. Again, each yiriyah was 4 by 30, and 11 of them to make it 44 by 30. So if you take half the width, so you have 2 that hung over the eastern side, and now you have 12 left. You have 30 for the roof, 2 that hung over the eastern side, and 12 on the back end. So Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda, that's it all works out totally fine according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hainu dechtiv chatzi hayiriyah ha'odefes tisrach. That half of a yiriyah, half of the width of one of these pieces of cloth, meaning half of 4, would tisrach, would hang over and drag on the floor. That because you have 2 extra, right? 10 amos of the back of the kroshim, and then you have at a minus 12 minus 10, you have 2 amos. That's half of a yiriyah. Elo the Rabbi Nechemia, but according to Rabbi Nechemia, my tisrach, what do you mean it would hang over? So it's simply tisrach mechaverta. Since he only had 1 amma left over, because according to Rabbi Nechemia, he had the width of the krushim was 1 amma, so he really only had 11 hanging over the back of the Mishkan. So he would just, what does it mean tisrach? It simply would just drag on the floor a little bit more than all of the other coverings. Okay, that's where I supposedly got up to yesterday, and let's go. Tanu Deve Rabbi Yishmael Lama Mishkan Dome. What is the Mishkan similar to when you have all the coverings draped over it? Leisha Shamalachas Bashuk, a woman is walking in the shuk, Shfulaha, and Mahalkanachareha, and in her skirt is kind of dragging behind it, right? That's as we pointed out, you had a little bit of the cloth of the covering of the Rios hanging behind the Mishkan. Okay, that was the image the Gemara says. Tanu Rabbanan, without the Nebraisa. Charutzin Hayu Kroshim Vechalulin Hayu Hadonim. As we pointed out before, the krushim fit into these sockets at the bottom. And it wasn't just, you know, if you can imagine, not sure if you've seen pictures, but basically there were two, let's say, spikes coming out of the krushim, and the adonim, the sockets had holes in them, and they fit in snugly one to the next. I guess the best way to explain it, okay? V'nirin krosim blulos k'kochavim barakia. And now the krosim and the lulos, if you looked up when you're inside the Mishkan, it looked like stars in the sky. What does that mean? So we pointed out that the Mishkan spread, meaning the bottom covering, was made out of all these beautiful tcheles, or argaman, telas shani, etc. So it was really beautiful, but they were four, each of them were 4 by 28 amos, and they were hooked and stitched together with loops and hooks and whatever it is with the of tcheles, and gold. So basically, if you imagine, you looked up and you saw all of these stitchings and in the cloth. So imagine looking up and seeing a beautiful multicolored cloth stitched together with different blue and gold weavings. So you can imagine there's blue and there's gold, so it looked like there were stars in the sky when you looked up. That was the kind of the image that you got when you were inside of the Mishkan. Beautiful image, if you can imagine it. Okay. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in our Braisa. Yirios HaTachtonios, again, the bottom one, which we just talked about, they were made out of tcheles, and argaman was purple, and telas shani was red, and sheish was linen. It's not a color, but it's a sheish. Velionos, and the ones on top, right, as we pointed out before, shalmaisi izim, they were made out of goat hair. And the top of one with the goat hair was needed more skill than the bottom one. Because by the bottom, tachtonos, the bottom cover, it says, any woman who had chachma slave, she would weave with her hands. But talking about the upper covering, says, right, women who had to nasaliban, kind of extend their hearts to acquire the chachma, so tavu is ha'izim. They would stitch together the goat hairs, and then you see that there's some sort of extra, right? They had to put in some extra effort, or some sort of extra chachma that was required. V'tanya, we know the Rabbeisa, Mishum Rabbi Nechemia, Shatuf be'izim, v'tavu yimena ha'izim. Again, we pointed out earlier that that the actual hairs were stitched and taken care of and washed, right? Shtuf is to watch. So they were washed while they were still on the goats themselves, to make sure they wouldn't lose any luster. Okay, back to the Mishnah. And again, we've been talking, if you remember at the beginning, we've been talking about, if you're throwing or passing from one balcony to the next, depending on where it was, it could be over a Shisar Avim, it could be that you were a Chayib. So the Mishnah had said, Shnei Gzustaros, if they're on the same side of the Shisar Avim, so if you pass from one to the next, you're a Chayib, and that's exactly what the Levium did. Amarav, Mishum Rabbi Chia, Agolos, again, this is the what we quoted before, but this is the marker for it, or the real where we really quote it. Agolos, in terms of the wagons, Tachtayan ubenehem, vitzidehem, Rishusarabim. Beneath them and on the sides of them and their edges were Rishusarabim. And again, we talked about exactly right between the spaces, between the crush and where there was open space, that's where there was Rishusarabim. Amar Abaye says, Bein Agala la Agala, Kamale Orech Agala. Between each Agala, and again, the way they set up these wagons, they had two pairs next to each other. So between each agala, between each wagon, you know, you had two lines of two, or I think maybe there are two lines of two, I forget. Between each wagon, you had the space of the length of a wagon. V'kama orech agala, how long were these wagons? Hey amos, there are 5 amos. So again, you had a wagon that measured, as we pointed out before, they measured at 10 amos. You had 5 amos. Each amma was, sorry, how wide? It was 5 amos wide, as we're going to see. And between them, they had 5 amos. Was it 5 amos? Yeah, I think there were 5 amos wide. You had 5 amos between, and then, yeah, that's what it was. And there, and you had some space on the other side, because the krushim would extend past the agalos. So basically it was... Well, let's see. That's the Gemara. We'll kind of talk about it and analyze it exactly. But anyway, so you had between each wagon, you had 5 amos. The Gemara says, "Hey, amos lamali, why do you need so much space?" Bedalad upalga sagi. It was enough if you would have 4.5. Meaning, why did you need the agalos? Why did you need the wagons to be 5 amos? Right. Again, we pointed out that if you put three sets of 1.5 wide, crush him. So you only need 4.5 amos of space. So the Gemara says, crush him. As we said before, we didn't want the crush him bumping into each other, where they had also had these rings to extending from them. So you did need it. You couldn't fit it exactly on the agalos. You couldn't use just the exact width of the crush him. You needed a little bit of extra space. That's why the agalos were 5 amos and not 4.5. Amar Rava, tzidei agala kamali rochov agala. The tzidei agala, the sides of the agala, was as much, meaning, when I say that, that's between the edge of the agala and the edge of the wheel. So that was like the width of the agala. The kama rochav agala, how much was that? Shtei amos u'mechza, 2.5. So you had from one edge of the agala to the right, to the edge of the wheels, was 1.25. And on the other side, you also had 1.25 amos, so that the whole contraption was, quick math, 2.5 plus 2.5 is 5 amos wide. So it's 5 amos long and 5 amos wide. The Gemara says, why do you need so much? Sorry, I lost the place over here. Amor, right. So why do you need so much? It was enough to have just 1.5. What's it called? Meaning, because you could just... why were they so wide? In other words, you could just have 1.5 almost and just balance the crushim on them. Right? The crushim, again, were put lengthwise. Right? The crushim were 10 almost long. So you didn't need 2.5 almost of width there because you could just balance them on regardless. So Gemara says, no, because if you had less in the middle, as you can imagine, like any kid plays with blocks and stacks them one on top of the other. So if you have a very narrow base, so the crushim, if they're much longer, laying widthwise, will fall one side to the next. So, you know, you needed more of a base. You needed 2.5 amos to make sure the crushim wouldn't fall off. So, Ella the Kaimalan Derech Rishutzer Avim, Sheshutzer Amma, but if you're telling me that Rishutzer Avim is 16 amos, right, that doesn't work. That's not enough. Because why? That is too much. Why? Because Anu de Gamrina Lame Mishkan. We learned that number from the Mishkan. The Mishkan Chamish Sarei Havei. In the Mishkan, they had 15. Meaning, we learned, if you're telling me that the Agalos were Rishutzer Avim, meaning certain areas. So we learn how big does the Rishus Rabin have to be? Well, it has to be 16 amos. But if you take the entire length of the agalos, again, each agalo was 5 amos wide. You had 5 amos in between the two agalos. Right? And so that's a total of, and they were 2 by 2, side by side. So that's 15 amos long. Right? If you tell me that's the Rishus Rabin that we're talking about, that we're taking from the Mishkan, right, obviously, Rishus Rabim, you could have taken the entire Midbar, but specifically, well, the Shaykh to the Mishkan was this 15 Amos with the Agalos side by side, plus the space in the middle. So why do you need 16? Why do we say that Rishus Rabim is 16 Amos long? So, on the right, so Gemara says, Havai Amasa Yisera Havai. There was an extra Amma in there. Why? Davakai ben Levi, because there would be a Levi walking next to it. And if the crushim would have fallen or tilted, right, so he could catch it before it would fall and kind of aligned it properly. Okay, fine. New Mishnah. Back to the Malacha of Hotzah. I guess we were talking about Hotzah, but different aspects of the Malacha of Hotzah. Chulius Habor. Let's say you have a lip or the edge of a pit. Fine, right? Rashi says, right? The karker chafiras habor nosten sivivosav laakif kemin choma. Right? You can imagine, usually you don't have a pit. You have some sort of lip. You have some sort of edge. Right? If there's a pit, some sort of, you know, even if you have a pool, so at least you'll have some sort of lip hanging over it. So vasela shehin vasela, and also let's say a rock that you have in Rishus Rabim. Let's say they are 10 amos tall and 4 10 amos, see, still in the Mishkan, 10 tfachim tall and 4 tfachim wide. That again, as we mentioned before, is the minimum shear for Rishus HaYachid. So hanotel mehem v'hanosim al gabon chayev. So if you then put an item on top of those two things, since that is set up in the Rishus HaRabim, but it is big enough, it has the status of a Rishus HaYachid, because it has the minimum shear. So if you put something down on it, or you take something from it, so it's going to be chayiv. By the way, that's not so big. But you can imagine, at least not in Israel, it would be a little different. But if you look at the, let's say, a fire hydrant in America, that's pretty close. That's pretty close to the shear. It could be off, but again, you have to imagine an item that size, be'erech. Okay, by 10 tvachim, by 4 tvachim. If you put something on it, you'll be chayiv. If you take something off it, you'll be chayiv, because that's from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Tvachim he can, but if it's less than that, potter, then it is a makom p'tur, and you would be potter. Gemara says, lama li l'misni chulios habor v'asela. Why do you need to tell me this specific example? The lip of a pit in a rock? So you're listening, habor v'asela, what do you need to talk about the lip? Just a pit. If a pit is 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim wide, or a rock that's 10 tvachim high and 10 tvachim wide. So what are you talking about the lip of a pit? So Rabbi Yochanan. So this seems to support Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Am Rabbi Yochanan bor vecholisa mitzdarfin la'asara. A pit and its lip will combine to make 10 tefachim. So if the pit, for example, is 9 tefachim deep and the lip is 1 tefach tall, so then the pit is going to have a status of rishus. We also learned the Braisa, Bor Rishus Arabim. If you have a pit that's in Rishus Arabim, Amuka Yud Varachva Arba, if it's 10 tall, or 10 really, 10 deep, and 4 wide, is in Mamalin Himena B'Shabbos. If it has water in it, you can't fill your bucket from that pit on Shabbos, because you're in Rishus Arabim, you're going to dip the bucket into the pit, take out some water. So then you're going to be chayv. You're going to bring that water from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRavim. Elim Kain, also the mechitza gavoa yud tvachim. Unless you made a mechitza, unless you made a wall around it, 10 tvachim around, because that way you've set up the area around the pit as a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore you're taking the water from the Rishus HaRavim into Rishus HaYochid, from the Rishus HaYochid, i.e. the pit, into another Rishus HaYochid, which has been partitioned around the pit, and then you are fine. Vein shosni nemena b'shabbos. Ele im kein, hichnis la rosho v'rubo, and you're not allowed to just drink from it straight up without taking it out. Right? You lean over, bend down on all fours. You're not allowed to drink from that unless you have rosho v'rubo, unless you have most of your body in the airspace, or the space of the rishus hayachid. So that is not considered taking hotzah from rishus hayachid into rishus haravim. Right, that's it again. That's what Rashi says over there. That's like a Rashi on the Amud. Lamod al svasa velishov bekli ulachnis rosho lachalala velishtos. Right, to stick your head into the area to drink. Kiznan lo yamod adam birshus haravim v'yishta birshus hayachin. Shema yim shoka kli etzlo. It's a gzera, right? It could be that you won't be chayv. It seems that you're not chayv midaraisa. Could be that it would be midarabanan to drink straight up, because you may come to take a kli from the birshus hayachin into birshus haravim. That would be usher. Me notice. Okay, fine. Ubor uchulisa. Oh, right. And here's the tiny nami hachi that we said that we also taught that bor uchulisa, that a pit and its lip, its darf and lasara, will combine to make the 10 tvachim shear. Boy mine Rav Mordechai mi Rava. Could be Rabba, or either way, Rav Mordechai has the following question to Rabba, let's say. Amud b'rushus harabim gavo yud v'rochav dalet. Let's say you have a pillar that is in Rosh Hashanah, it's 10 by 4, i.e. the minimum shear for Rosh Hashanah, v'zorak v'nach al gabav. And let's say you throw an item and it rests on top of this, amud. So, mi amrinon have hare akira b'isser v'hare anacha b'isser. Do we say that since you threw it from Rosh Hashanah, i.e. b'isser, and there's anacha in Rosh Hashanah, right, and therefore you are usher, and it's as you did like here on Acha from Rishus Yachad to Rishus Rabim, O Dilma, or maybe came into me makom p'turka asi. Well, maybe since it went through the airspace again, to how do you get onto an item on a pillar that's 10 by 4? If you throw it, so it must be going through the airspace that's above Rishus Rabim. So since it came from a makom p'tur, meaning you threw it from Rishus Rabim, it sailed through the airspace of Makom Ptur above the Rishus HaRavim and came to rest on Rishus HaYachid, that was 10 by 4. So maybe you should not be Chayiv. So Amar Lai, so he said to him, Mas Nisani. It's our Mishnah. But he didn't elaborate. Also, Shailei the Rav Yosef, if you went to Esther of Yosef and Amar Lai Mas Nisani, he said the same thing, it's our Mishnah. Also, Shailei the Rav Ayiv, Amar Lai Mas Nisani, he said it's our Mishnah. What's our Mishnah? Again, our Mishnah says that if you have something that's 10 by 4, if you take something from it and you put something on top of it, you're going to be Chayiv. But how are you getting it onto that item? then obviously your hand, right, is going through the airspace, right, putting it down, right? It must be that you are chayiv. So he said, Rav Mordechai said back to them, Kulchu broka de adi tfisu. You guys are all spitting the same spit. Broka, roka is spit. What are you guys talking about? They said to him, what do you mean? You don't hold this Mishnah, that's not. We learned our Mishnah. Right, you take an item, you put an item down on a 10x4 pillar. Pillar is not that tall, but okay, whatever. It's 10x4 piece of whatever. You're going to be chayiv. So Amalei, no. Dilma masnisin b'mechet. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a needle. Right, a needle, right, there's not so much airspace. It's not going through. How much airspace is it going through? It's going, says mechet nami. What do you mean? A needle, it must have been a little bit higher than the 10x4. Yeah, if it's 10 tefachim by 4 tefachim, it must have gone above the 10 tefachim a little bit. That's what I said. Rav Mordechai said back then, no, the case is the Islay Morsha, or the pillar that, or the rock, or whatever it is that you're talking about, has a little, Morsha is a little bit of an edge, or a little bit of a protrusion. That sticks out a little bit just beneath the 10 tefachim. And when it rests on the 10 tefachim, the needle kind of goes through that. That's how it gets to the top of the pillar. So it entered. It came through something that was just below 10 tefachim, and it came to rest. If you can imagine it rolled or whatever, you can imagine a scenario where it kind of bounced off it or rolled onto it or whatever it is. So it was something that was extended just below 10 tefachim, so therefore when you threw it, it was in the Rishus HaRabim, but it came to rest on the Rishus HaYochid, that was 10x4. Inami, another answer, or you could say that the Mishnah is talking about a case, the Ramiya Becharitza, where the needle is in a little crack on top of the pillar, and therefore somehow it got in through or the crack, or it's resting in a crack, and it never went above the airspace. So and anyway, Mordechai didn't hold of our Mishnah, and that's why he didn't like the answers of all those Rabbanim. Meaning, our Mishnah was not the case that he was talking about. Okay, fine. It's a bit of a dachuk hechatimsa to establish our Mishnah only in those cases. Right? That's only those cases you're going to be chayiv. If I'm not mistaken, the Rishonim don't like that answer. Meaning that in Echanami, that was his suffix, but Lamaisa, since all those Rabbanim said it's our Mishnah that we hold that. It's a regular case. You don't have to come to these kind of strange ikimtas. Okay. Amarav Mesha. Rav Mesha says like this. Boy Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to know, what's the halacha? Kotel b'Rishus HaRabim gavoa yud. Let's say you have a wall in Rishus HaRabim that's 10 tefachim tall, but b'ino rochav arba, but it's not 4 amos wide. Umukav l'karmelis, but it's used as a wall surrounding a karmelis. V'asol Rishus HaYochid. And the wall makes it into a Rishus HaYochid. And now, Vizarek Benachal Gabov. And now someone throws a rock or whatever, and it lands on top of this wall. Ma, what's the thing? Miyam Rinan Kevin de Eno Rach of Dalet Makom Toru. Do we say that, well, the wall is not 10x4, therefore it's not a Rishus HaYochid in and of itself, and therefore it's Potter, it's a Makom Tor? Odilma, or maybe Kevin Shaso Rishus HaYochid, since that wall creates the inside space into it, changes it into Rishus HaYochid, so then command the Mali Damya. So it's as if it's filled up, meaning it's as if the wall is 4 tefachim wide as well, right? Since it makes all of the inner space into Rishus HaYochid. So Ma'ula Kal Vachomer. It's a Kal Vachomer. La'cherim osa mechitza. Right? If it makes a mechitza, if it makes a, it makes it into a Rishus HaYochid for other space, la'atzma lo kol shekein. So certainly, the wall should make itself into a Rishus HaYochid. Okay, Itmar Nami, it is also said, Amar Bechil or Ashi, Amar Rav, Vechein Amar Yitzhak, Amar Yochanan, Kotel Rishus HaRabim, Gavoa Yod, Ve'inu Rochav Arba, Umukav HaKarmelis, Vasa Rishus HaYochid, right, our case, what's the din? Hazarik Benach Al Gabav Chayiv. Right, if you throw it lands on top of the wall, you're chayiv, because La'cherim Osim Mechitza La'atzma Lo Kol Shekein. Because certainly, if it's going to make the area inside of it into a Rishus HaYochid, so certainly it itself is also going to have the status of Rishus HaYochid. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asks a different question. Bor Tisha ve'akar imenu chulia. Let's say you have a pit that's 9 tefachim deep. And now you take out a clump of dirt. And again, you make it into 10 tefachim. Ve'ashlimu la'asara. Then that makes it into 10 tefachim deep. Mahu akiras chifetz. Mahu, what's the din? Sorry, what's the halacha? Is it akiras chefetz vasias mechitza ba'adei adadi ka'asu? Maybe you're taking the item, i.e. the dirt, and you are making asias mechitza, and therefore you're making it into a wall, i.e. you're making it into rishus ha'yachin ba'adei adadi at the same time. And therefore, mechayev, you're going to be chayev because you took the dirt at the same exact time. Or maybe not. Maybe, meaning when you took the dirt and you completed this now 10 tefachim deep ditch or hole, is that considered as if you took the dirt from Rishus HaYachin? Because at that moment you turned it into Rishus HaYachin. So what is the taking of the dirt, right? When you throw that dirt now into Rishus HaRabim, are you going to be chayiv or not? Did you take it from Rishus HaYachin or not? So the into and the Rabbi Yochanan says further. Vintim salam arkevin de lo havi mechitza sara meikara lo mechayiv. And if you're going to tell me that originally, you know, in Echinami, that originally when you took the dirt, it was 9 deep, and therefore it wasn't its own Rishus HaYachid, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv because it didn't have the proper shear at the beginning. Bor yud v'nasa l'socha chulio umiyata. Let's say you did have a pit that was 10 tefachim, right? But now what are you doing? You're putting in some dirt into it, umiyata, and now you're making it less than 10 tefachim. So mao, so what's the din? When you drop the dirt, that automatically turns it from a yud tefachim into tes tefachim, and therefore it changes it from a shus ha'yachid into a makom p'tur. So does that happen at the same time? So mechayev or lo mechayev? Are you going to be chayev for that? Because in Echanami, you took the dirt from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. When you uprooted the dirt from Rishus HaRabim, right, the Rishus HaYachid still was 10 tefachim, but the second it lands and does the anacha in Rishus HaYachid, the Rishus HaYachid is no longer Rishus HaYachid. So what's the din? So Tifshu Levin Didei. So Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, why don't we learn it from Rabbi Yochanan's own statement? It's not like we learned in the Mishnah. Right, we're going to learn this tomorrow. The Hazorik Arba Amos Makotel. Again, we've learned this before, but we're going to learn the Mokers tomorrow. If you throw an item for Amos and it lands on a wall, Lamala Me'asar Tfachim, if it lands 10 Tfachim up, Bezorik Ba'avir. It's as if you're throwing it into the air. And it's not you're not chayv. Again, because it's above the airspace, it's in the airspace above the Rishus HaRabim. The Mata Me'asarab, if it's underneath 10 Tefachim, Kizarek Ba'aretz, it's as if you threw it on the ground. V'Hazorek Ba'aretz Arba Amos Chayev. And if you throw something, Al-Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim, and it lands on the ground, you're going to be Chayev. V'Av Yinan Ba, but we explained about that Mishnah, the Halo Nach. It didn't rest. The item, it's a ball, it's bouncing away. So it's Mistama, as Rashi over here or over there, I forget, but Mistama, it came to rest, perhaps, again, if you throw it against a wall, it's going to come back at you, and it's going to land at your feet. It didn't land Dalet Amos away from you. From Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the case is, B'dvela Shmeina Shaninu. We're talking about a case where something, you threw something sticky, right? It doesn't bounce, so therefore, if it sticks to the wall, under 10 tefachim, you're going to be chayiv. And that seems to prove that you're going to be chayiv. This is the point that I'll prove. V'amai, and why should you be chayiv though when it sticks to the wall beneath 10 tefachim? Hakam emayit me arba amos. Because we're assuming that you're dalet amos away from the wall. Again, think about it. You're dalet amos away from the wall. You take this sticky fig cake. Right, this Devela Shmeina, this whatever it is, you throw it against the wall, it sticks on the wall. So now, instead of being Dalet Amos away, right, you didn't throw an item Dalet Amos, you threw the item 3.8 Amos, I don't know, whatever it is, however big the item is. Right, it's protruding from the wall, so you're missing the Dalet Amos. So apparently, if you tell me that you're going to be Chayiv for that, so you're going to be Chayiv in the case where you pick up the dirt and throw it into the pit, even though it changed it into a Rishus HaYachid. Right, why would Rabbi Yochanan have a question in that case? So Gemara says, you're right, because Hasam lo mevatale, because by the case of the cake that you threw against the wall, it's not mevatel to the wall. That's still a sticky cake that is stuck on a wall. It's not considered part of the wall. But here, Hacha mevatale, here when you throw the dirt into the pit, that dirt now becomes the bottom of the pit. That becomes the, I don't know, the floor. So the kasha is, right, has that been redefined now because you threw it into a pit and now it's considered part of the pit? Okay. So the Gemara does not answer that question. Boy, Rava asks similarly. Zarek daf v'noch agabi yesedos. Let's say you threw a board, and it lands on top of yesedos. Yesedos are pegs, and that creates a rishus hayochid. Again, the pegs of the yesedos themselves are 10 tefachim. Rashi says dakos. You have thin pegs. Shayu gvos yud. They're 10 tefachim tall. Ve'in rechovos dalet, but they're not 4 tefachim wide. V'daf zeh rechov dalet. And now you have this board is 4 tefachim wide. And now so rishus hayochid. So now with the combination of those two items, you've created a rishus hayochid. So now, what's the din? Mike, come by late. The Gemara says, what's the question? Are you asking that since the item comes to rest at the same exact time when you make the mechitza, when you create the rishus hayochid, so that's Hainu de Rabbi Yochanan. That was Rabbi Yochanan's question. Well, you don't need to ask me the same question twice. Well, that's Rabbi Yochanan's question. So Gemara says, keep coming by. Le Rabba can go to Zarach daf v'chifetz agavav. No, Rabba's question is, you're throwing this board, you're creating the rishus hayochid, but you have an item on top of it. So my, what's the din? Kim davada de bahadi adadi ka'asu. Since it happened at the same time, maybe ka'nachas chefetz v'asiyas mechitza dami. Maybe it's just like you put the item is put down, and then you have the asiyas mechitza, meaning you'd be putter for the item. Old Dilma came in delo efshar, delo midli porta, because it's impossible that the item shouldn't jump up a little bit. And when, you know, if you can imagine you're throwing, a rock on top of a board. Yeah, so you throw the board on top of the pegs, and obviously the rock is going to pop up a little bit. So, v'adar nayach, and then it's going to rest, kasiyas mechitza v'anachas chevetz dami. Maybe it's like you made the rishus hayochid, and then you placed an item down, and you're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says, teku, that is tishbi yitaris kushios rabayos, and Eliyahu HaNavi will explain to us, mitzashem, when he comes, b'meher v'yameinu, amen. Okay, shkoyach kodol rabosei, we go weiter to the 100th daf in Shabbos tomorrow. Have a shavuot tov, and a good vach.